Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
The opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 are instructions by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian Christians as to the right and wrong way to evaluate gospel ministers. And to do that, he takes up first a proper view of ministers. They have to understand who a minister is, what a job description of the minister is, from a biblical viewpoint, from a Godward viewpoint, sweeping aside all customs and considerations that one may have. And I'm sure the Corinthians didn't have many, because most of them, all of them really, were saved they didn't grow up in Christian homes. They didn't grow up in the Christian church. They were saved out of paganism for the most part. A few of them were saved out of Judaism. But they didn't have the customary baggage that many of us have by growing up in Christian homes and forming ideas about ministers and what they should be like and how they should act and how they should relate to the congregation and what we should expect from them. And so many times these ideas are based upon experiences, childhood experiences, even adult experiences, that have come to us either by our own relationship with pastors along the way, or communications come to us from our parents or from others as to what they think a minister ought to be like and what he ought to do. And so many times these concepts come out at the time when a church is looking for a new pastor. And so now people start talking about what it is we're looking for. And somebody says, well, I think he ought to be like this. And somebody else says, I think you ought to be like this. And somebody else says, I think we ought to be looking for a minister who has these qualities and these characteristics. And so many times there are just all kinds of ideas. But the question is, how many of them are biblical? That's the question. How many of these concepts are biblical? Because if they aren't in line with the Word of God, then they've got to be thrown out. You've got to discard them. And that isn't always easy. Sometimes custom and culture and tradition are lodged more strongly in our minds than the Word of God. So strongly lodged in our minds that sometimes it's very difficult even for the Word of God to correct us, to drive out our wrong thoughts. We resist that. We don't want that to happen. But that's exactly what we've got to allow the Word of God to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing every day, is changing our thoughts so that they correspond with God's Word. We are to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, by having God's Word bring to our mind new thoughts, new concepts, new ways of doing things, new ways of thinking about things. And that's all part of what it means to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, have I welcomed you to this particular edition of the Beacon Broadcast, which is Thursday, July 1. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us. Ministers of the Gospel. Now, that's the word that I've chosen for this section. People have different names even that they apply to their pastors and to gospel proclaimers. preachers, as we often call them. And even these names have various cultural and traditional connotations that are attached to them. But most people understand the term minister, at least in America. I remember one time being on a flight going, I think, to Africa on a missions trip, and I happened to be sitting next to somebody who struck up a conversation, and he asked me, what did I do? What, you know, I forget exactly how he put it. What are you? And I said, I am a minister. And he assumed I meant I was in a governmental administration. I forget exactly what the next comment was, but what country are you a minister of, and what is your assignment? Are you a minister of education? Are you a minister of finance? What are you? Well, of course, we use that terminology in government as well as in the church. So to some people, even the term minister doesn't communicate a preacher of the gospel. But to most Americans, I think it does. I haven't ever had that problem in America when someone has asked me what I am and I say I'm a minister. Usually everybody understands immediately. And then oftentimes they'll follow it up with what kind of minister, and I know what they mean. And I say, well, I am a Baptist minister. I'm a Baptist pastor. Then sometimes that's enough, and sometimes they want to know more. What kind of Baptist? It depends on how much they know and what their experience and level of understanding is. But whatever you call your pastor, and I'm thinking now primarily about pastors, though the same would apply to missionaries, the same would apply to itinerant preachers who travel from place to place and do not have one congregation. But whatever you call them, many people in our part of the country call their pastor preacher. Preacher so-and-so. And others, of course, call him pastor, and some call them ministers and various other terms that are sometimes used. But we're talking in this passage about ministers of the gospel, and Paul says it's very important that you have a proper view of ministry. And I'll read verses 1 and 2 and summarize them quickly before we move on to verse 3. He says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Two terms to help the Corinthians understand what a preacher is. He's a servant of Christ. He's a steward of the mysteries of God, which I think could be broadened more readily into the concept of he's a steward of the Word of God. He is a manager, that's what a steward is, of the Word of God. He is to distribute God's Word in a skillful way. He's a steward, an overseer, a manager of the mysteries of God, which tells us that, and this is just one of many places that tell us this, if this were the only place, you might doubt, you might think I'm pulling more out of the text than what is clearly there, but because this concept is clearly taught in so many places in Scripture, I can say without fear of contradiction that a pastor's primary responsibility is to preach the Word. He is a steward of the Word of God. That's assignment number one. And until he is doing that well, he's not doing a good job. And until he is prepared to do that well, he doesn't really have time to do anything else. I know that's a hard concept for some people to get a hold of, because people do have all these different ideas about what a pastor should be. He should be a friend to everybody in the congregation. He should visit everybody in the congregation on a regular basis. He should particularly visit the sick and the shut-ins. And he should, and all kinds of ideas people have of what he should do. And I remember struggling with that as a young man when I was pastoring for the first time. And I found out that the people in my congregation had a lot of expectations of what they thought a pastor ought to be. In other words, now applying that to me, I just stated it in sort of a general way. expectations of what a pastor ought to be, but what that boiled down to was they had expectations of what I ought to be, what they expected me to be, what they expected me to do, how they expected me to relate to them. They had certain concepts, and I frankly was frustrated, even to the point of getting close to burnout. That's a term that we used to hear more frequently than we do now, but we know what that means. When a pastor just gets so burned out with his responsibilities that he's not able to function and he has to retire from ministry, sometimes forever. You'd be surprised how many former pastors there are out in the secular field working as salesmen or all kinds of things. There's no limit to what they may be doing. And some of them, after a time of respite, will enter the ministry again. They've gotten refreshed and recharged, and they come back. Their burnout is over, and sometimes they never do. And I've come to the conclusion, based both upon my own experience and even more upon observation of what goes on, I've come to the conclusion that most of the time, burnout isn't created so much by an overload of work, though it often seems to be the problem, and I'll explain why in a moment, but I've come to the conclusion that burnout generally is created by ministers having so many wrong expectations set upon them, and they are endeavoring to satisfy all these expectations, and it's humanly impossible to do that. Nobody can do all these things that people expect. You've got different people that expect different things, and different people that have had different experiences, and different people have come from different backgrounds, and different people have had favorite pastors who did certain things certain ways and related to them in certain ways, and they all bring this into their own thinking, and everybody wants the pastor to be like that, and it's impossible. And burnout comes by being unable to meet unbiblical and unrealistic expectations. Now, don't get me wrong. The pastor's job is a busy job. His workload is a busy workload. And I don't know many pastors that deny that or that push back on it, that resent that. Most pastors I know are hardworking men who are glad to work long, hard hours because they're laboring for Christ, remember? Consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And so pastors are glad to do that. They want to spend their life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're happy to burn out, as it were, for the Lord Jesus Christ. But they want to be sure, if they understand the scriptures, they want to be sure that they are wearing themselves out doing the assignment that Christ gave them, not wearing themselves out trying to do the assignment that Christ gave them, plus multiple assignments that are imposed upon them by others who are not the ones that they are responsible to. We are to consider a pastor as a servant of Christ, not a servant of the congregation, though yes, in a very real sense they are, but they serve the congregation in the way Christ tells them to serve the congregation. They don't serve the congregation necessarily in the way that the congregation wants them to serve them. That's what needs to be understood. And if the minister doesn't understand that, he will get burned out. And if the congregation doesn't understand that, they'll wear their pastor out. So we need to understand these things. Well, thank you for joining me today. I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.